Folks, we love having our first-time guests, and Jen's got one of the most unique resumes you'll find, from doing Mariners TV en route, the voice of the Seahawks here in town. You hear her with the sideline reports. She's an author, founder of an amazing entity called Talk Sporty to Me. You can follow on Twitter. Use the handle at Jen Talk Sports. Jen Mueller joins us. Jen, thanks so much for the time. How's life treating you and yours these days?
You know what? I have been pleasantly busy for the last 2 weeks, and anytime I start to stress about the number of things on my calendar, I just remember a year ago when I was wishing to have all of these things on the schedule. So I'm excited that we've got multiple sports to cover and that the Hawks are starting next week. The Kraken are getting going. It's a fun time.
Yeah, I was thinking it's a joyous time in the Emerald City, but as a first-time guest, a little background, where do you hail from, where'd you do your undergrad work, and maybe throw in, I was reading, you were kind of a pioneer at the time as a rare woman to get into officiating.
Yeah, that's because I'm stubborn and a little bit crazy, but I grew up in Texas. I went to Southern Methodist University in Dallas. I recognized early on that if I was going to try to have a career in sports broadcasting, which wasn't really something they were thrilled about women doing in those days, I was going to need a differentiator. And so I thought, well, I wasn't a college athlete, but I found the thing I could do, and that was become an official. So I was an intramural flag football official for 4 years. And after I had gotten my All-America honors as a flag football official, yes, it is a thing. I'm very proud of it because all football in the state of Texas is big. I wanted a new challenge, and so I joined the Dallas chapter of officials. Fun fact, one of the guys that joined the chapter with me was also a guy who worked with me at SMU. His name is Walt Coleman, and he is currently in the NFL as an official. And so we see each other on the sidelines of games, but I worked games for 10 years as a high school football official.
Were you notorious for calling flag guarding? Because I played flag football in my youth, so.
I was more likely to call you for an illegal block than I was for flag guarding. Yeah.
So I know you were a grad in 2000. Well, let's get to 2009 when you became a part of the Seahawk crew with Steve Rabel. I know you'd done cable news in Texas, some reporting for the Big Sky. But so now here you were the year before Pete Carroll arrived. What do you remember about that first season? You know, you're covering the Seattle Seahawks. It's the NFL, and just how enormous that was.
It is, but also the way that I got to the Seahawks was kind of unique. So I always know that year. It was Jim Mora's year. That was a really tough year on the field. So if you want to cut your teeth as a reporter, everybody always looks at, oh, man, how fun is it when they win the Super Bowl? It's really fun. But the reality is you earn your money after losses, and you've got to be able to go in there and get them to talk to you when the last thing they want to do is see you coming with a microphone. And the only thing they want to do is use language I cannot put on the air, right? So that was a tough year. And I remember games getting out of hand in the first quarter and thinking, okay, how are we going to do this post-game show? But I spent 6 years positioning myself for that position. And so when I got the chance to do it, it wasn't quite as big. It was awesome, and I am still grateful every time I get to be on the field. But in some ways, I'd warmed up the space. I mean, the guys knew me, the team knew me, the people that I was going to be standing on the sidelines knew me. So I was really trying to stay out of the way and to not be noticed. You know, I would go to the last seat on the bus, you know, just because I didn't know where I was supposed to be. And I don't want to be the one that causes the problem. So what I remember most about that year, in addition to not very many wins, was just trying to figure out where my place was. Right, like how much personality do you show? You know, where do you show up? Is it wrong if they see me in the elevator when I'm going down to work out one day, right? And I'm not dressed and I don't have my hair done and my makeup's not done and things like that. So you kind of work through that. That was a personal challenge for me to work through, but
sure. But
we made it. Yeah.
Talking with Jen Mueller, Root Sports and more. So you mentioned the Kraken. and it was her first ever draft. And of course, this was a city that took a gut punch when the Sonics left in 2008. And I love seeing the city sports legends on board here. So how would you describe the excitement, just the buzz in anticipation of this first NHL season?
I would say it's off the charts. And it wasn't even about yesterday, which was awesome. And the setting at Gasworks Park was beautiful. It was iconic Seattle yesterday. And from the weather to the views to the reception of the fans. But I think it was going back to when they announced that you could sign up for season tickets. And they sold out and they had a waiting list. And it was unbelievable from the beginning. This city is hungry for hockey. And of course they want basketball to come back. But I don't know how many of them are true hockey fans versus new hockey fans, but quite honestly, it doesn't matter because everybody's going to be along for the ride together and everybody's in a new position. Even the players we talked to yesterday, they've not been drafted by an expansion team before. So it does kind of feel like the fans, the players, the organization, everybody's in it together, and I think it's going to be an awesome season.
Yeah, well, as somebody who grew up as a diehard New York fan, I am going to be up there. I may get to be annoying at a certain point. you know, I want to talk about what you founded, Talk Sporty to Me, back in 2009. For folks who want to follow it on Twitter, it's at Talk Sporty to Me. Online, TalkSportyToMe.com. Jen, what was the inspiration beyond that hysterical quote I thought you had where you spoke too much in class?
Yeah.
If you could kind of elaborate on the nature of what Talk Sporty to Me is.
So it is a company that focuses on business communication. And the difference between me and everybody else is that there's always a sports twist. So I will give you the actual strategies that I use to get people to talk in high-pressure moments on TV and radio and give good answers, right? And everybody needs that in a business setting. The other side of this is understanding the advantage that sports conversations gives you in building relationships in business. It is not just about the outcome of games. Sports fans tell you a lot about themselves and the way they talk about the games and their favorite players. And so I want sports fans to use this to their full advantage, and I want even non-sports fans to see you don't have to spend every evening or every weekend watching hours of sports. I happen to think that that's a fun thing to do, but I also think that going kayaking and going to the farmer's market and drinking wine and hanging out with my family is fun. I don't watch sports 24 hours a day. Doesn't mean that we can't talk about it or use it to our advantage. And that really is how the company started. It was an accident. But I was asked to teach a group of women, you know, like making sure that they both knew how to talk about sports and how to become a sports fan and why this was important in business. If you were to Google how to become a sports fan, it's the worst advice in the world. It will tell you to like go watch a game or go read a rule book. That's not how this works. So I developed the system. I wrote the book on it. I've given a number of presentations around the country on it. And I realized it's not just women. And it's not just this part of the country, right? Sports fans in general aren't using this enough, and non-sports fans don't know how to join in a way where everybody feels comfortable.
Well, it's just incredibly intriguing as we continue with Jen Mueller. So let's hit rewind. Let's say you and I chatted for the first time. It was the night before opening day of the Mariner season, and I told you the Mariners would have two wins from their staff ace, have their reigning rookie of the year, Kyle Lewis, on the shelf for who knows how long, yet they'd be six games over 500, right in the thick of things. What do you think your reaction would have been?
I would have said, you are dreaming, because that's never going to happen, and there's no way they could keep pace with that. In fact, I think there was a huge question even before all the injuries, right? We weren't talking about this as being the year that they were contending. You're talking about this coming out of spring training with still a lot of young players and with some unproven pitchers. Think Chris Flexen, who's turned out to be a phenomenal find by Jerry DePoto, right? We're still thinking, this is definitely a rebuild year. This, you know, don't get your expectations too high. I think that they have already exceeded everybody's expectations. It quite honestly doesn't matter what happens the rest of the year. You know, it's going to be hard to maintain this pace given the number of injuries that they're dealing with and given what that rotation looks like. But I think it has been a phenomenal year and a fun year for these young guys.
You know, Jen, one big question coming in was the bullpen. And, of course, we now know names like Paul Sewald, Drew Steckenrider. They were given minor league deals. Kendall Graveman was pretty much a starter his whole career. And also, I think you got to throw in the job of Pete Woodworth, who's a second-year pitching coach at age 32. How great of a story has Seattle's relief corps been?
Yeah, it has been really cool, and I think it's not just Pete Woodworth, but it is the organization and the way they use analytics. And if you talk to some of these guys, whether it's Steckenrider or Sewald, you know, it was the way that they analyzed, let's say, the shape of their pitches, right, and making sure that they could be most effective. And instead of trying to do lots of different things, let's just figure out the thing that you're really good at. Even if that hasn't been what you've always done, let's try that. And the way that they were able to marry analytics with, like, real world, this is how it shows up, the guys bought in. They got results, and they are having career years. And it's been really fun to watch. And those are the stories that, you know, Jerry's been good at finding those guys over the course of the last few years. And without that bullpen, I have no idea where this team would be right now.
Right. Final couple thoughts for Jen Mueller. Wrap with the Seahawks. Camp opens Wednesday. You know, you see the melodrama in Green Bay. It now seems forever ago that something similar was kind of taking place here. I never bought in. But knowing what and who you know, did you ever think there was any legitimate shot that Russell Wilson would be anywhere but under center for the Seahawks this season?
Nope. Nope, not at all. It was a storyline that was fun for people to talk about, but I had zero doubt that he was going to end up being in Seattle. And, you know, there's any number of reasons for that, but he is in game mode now. Like, he is ready to go. He's been training with his guys in California. He's ready to go, and he's ready to get this done. And I'm glad that our drama is behind us. I don't know that the drama was worth all of the headlines, but I'm glad that our drama is behind us. It'll be interesting to see what happens in Green Bay.
It sure is. Even more interesting or annoying if you're a Packer fan. But the last thing I want to hit on, Jen, is KJ Wright. We know Bobby Wags is the Hall of Famer. These two guys have been a part of the greatest run in franchise history. You know, 50 and 54 been mainstays on the defense. So I guess what's the latest on the possibility KJ might return? And if not, how odd will it be to see this linebacking core without him out there?
You know, I talked to him after the Seahawks did their OTAs in June, and I said, it is just so, you know, I'm missing something. You know, I miss seeing you out there. It's been 10 years of KJ out there. And Bobby said, yeah, you know, he would really like to have KJ back. They were one of the best tandems in the NFL for so many years. I think right now it is a waiting game. I know that KJ has been working out. He's posted his videos. I have no doubt that he is in shape and that he would be ready to help a team, especially the Seahawks, if they needed it. I think probably what you're looking at right now is to see how teams make it through training camp. Inevitably, there are injuries and there are things that happen, and I have to imagine that he would be the first call when somebody needs that veteran linebacker and that veteran presence. I don't think that the door is closed on him returning to Seattle, but you got to remember the Seahawks have drafted guys that they want to see play more. Jordan Brooks is one of those guys that comes to mind. And when you can keep him on the field, you know, you drafted him for a reason. He's got the speed and the athleticism that you want, and you want to keep him on the field as much as you can. So I still have my fingers crossed that KJ will be back. But if he's not, I know the Seahawks have it covered with the talent they have.
Folks, she's Jen Mueller, does an awesome job in her role with the Mariners, sideline reporter for the Seahawks. And if a photo she posted on Twitter is accurate, maybe a backup goalie for the Kraken. on Twitter, the handle is at Jen Talk Sports, or check out the organization she founded at Talk Sporty to Me. Jen, I really appreciate the time. Glad we got a chance to chat. Hope you and yours are well. Thanks so much for joining us. And obviously now, I look forward to catching up again down the road.
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right. Have a good one, Jen. There you go, Jen.